Hi, everybody. Welcome to the session. You know, again, this is only the fifth session. We've covered so much, but we're only about a quarter through the course, so really just getting going. And we're going to talk about some stuff today that's pivotal to your marketing. I've talked to a couple people about how to do it, but it's really pivotal. It can make the difference in moving projects forward and getting more done. So I'm going to talk about that in the last half of the call. What I want to do now is I want to see where you are with your website content, other content that you're working on, areas that you might be struggling with. You know, some people have, just to point them out, because they've been doing great work, Nancy has done good work on her site. I went in and did some tweaking and made the font bigger and stuff like that. So, but her site is really looking good. Oliver is working diligently on his site, and we just, he's working on a couple pages that we fine-tuned yesterday, but he's coming along really well. Sarah, I haven't seen your changes yet, but I'm sure you said you worked on things. I just saw your report, so that's coming along good. Udo is not working on his website right now. That's not his main priority, so relax. Sharon is got some support there, but she's got a lot of work to go. Mute yourself for now, Carol, okay? So she's got a lot to go. We're going to support her. Leanne is making steps. She sent me a page that I said I didn't like very much. I'm sorry, Leanne. I felt very bad telling you that. I'll tell you that later. Anyway, so I really want to support you and your website looking great, Leanne, so I hope I'm helping and not dissuading. Carol did a sort of a redo of her site a few weeks ago, and she has a few things to still tweak, and ultimately she's going to have a whole new look and feel at some point, but not right now. And last but not least is Roberta Ryan is kicking butt with her website. It's looking really nice. She's done a lot of work on it. And my web designer has really helped her get everything put together. So we're getting progress. So I just want to know if there's anything you want to share about this. This is something I didn't expect you to have completely done, everybody, because there's so many little pieces that you have to go back and tweak and write and da, da, da. But you want to keep going at it and aim to, you know, I think a possible aim for everybody is to be completed by the end of March. Or, you know, 90% completed, ready to put up, have your article up there, things like that. So, depending on your time, et cetera, but hopefully you can do that. Okay, so I'm going to try to stop talking and say, what do you want to say about anything about the website content which you're working on?
So, this is Leanne. I actually had a new client interview yesterday from a contractor. And he said, of all the coaches that I got, whose names I got, your presentation is the best on the web.
Well, that's heartening. Okay, good. Good. Okay. That doesn't mean I'm still not going to press you to make it look even better. But that's Mark, great. That's
sorry, great. I'm not really sure how to submit web pages to you. How would you
send them to me as Word documents, or if you have them up already on the page, just send them to the page with the URL, and I'll look at them on site, on your site. Okay. Nobody else? No. When nobody talks, it's either a really good sign or a bad sign, and sometimes I don't know which.
I forgot the question. I was distracted by my dog, and you asked it, and somebody talked, and then I can't remember what you asked.
How are you doing on your website? Questions, issues, you know, you're about to, what's going on with anything having to do with the website?
I'm thinking about, I don't really love the lack of flexibility in mine. Did you notice that when you went in there to change the font? I think it's difficult to change anything.
What do you want to change?
Well, you had suggested that I make the font larger, but I don't think that.
I did that.
Did you make it larger?
Like 2 points larger.
Oh, I noticed it was more readable, but.
Oh my God. And I made it darker as well. Yeah. Look, you're using Squarespace.
Yeah.
Which I'm familiar with because I created a whole website with that last year. And you go into a control panel and set the size of your type in one place and it changes all your type size.
Well, that's great. Well, I thought it looked really great and I really appreciate your taking the time to do that. Thank you.
Yeah, I asked you to do a few of these things and you hadn't, so I'd figured you were completely baffled by the technical interface. I mean, I went into Sharon's site and I was completely baffled by her technical interface. I couldn't figure out how to change the color, the size. I couldn't figure out how to do anything because these different WordPress iterations do different things. I'm going to have Michael go in and just look at your site and give me some ideas of what might be able to do, basic little things, because I couldn't figure out how to do it, but it's doable. You know, there's various control panels that are kind of hidden, etc. So the technical stuff, once in a while I can help. I can definitely help with Squarespace, but not so much with WordPress. Okay. But, you know, Michael will go and take a look at no charge, and there's a couple things I could tweak if it just needs minor things. Okay. And sometimes it needs major things, major overhauls that I simply can't do. Okay. And we've made the font darker, by the way, as well. Because it was really small and really light. And it's sort of hard to wrap your mind around this, but some people are going to your websites and they're not reading anything. They're not, because it's just too hard to read. They kind of start, but it's like, oh my God, you know, they need a magnifying glass to read it. Anyway, so we have it much squared away. Okay, anybody else? Okay, so that's it on that. Yes.
You and I had a conversation yesterday, and one of the things I've struggled with on my website for a long time is who my ideal client is, because I work with sales managers and VPs of sales, but my actual client is the owner or president or CEO, the person who cuts the check.
Right.
So after we talked yesterday, and you gave me a lot of good ideas, I worked on it quite a bit last night, and I think I'm getting so it makes more sense.
Okay.
Because now sales manager or VP goes there, and they will never make a decision. They will never cut a check. Yeah. So it's kind of just wasting my time.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of work on it, and hopefully it'll work. It'll read better.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, just send me that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're making great progress on your site. So I wanted to share a few little tips that these are in the website toolkit, but a lot of people miss these things through your website. And these are really important things. So take some notes on this, if you will. There's in the website toolkit, I think it's tab 9 or tab 10. It talks about kind of a style sheet for your site. It talks about the size of the font. It talks about all those kinds of things. It talks about using bolding, et cetera, et cetera. So you can look at that basic style sheet. It's a style sheet that you can use for designers. You have your text and you say, give this to the designer and say, I want it to follow this more or less. I mean, that can help. But other than design, there's a few other things. Every single page of your site needs a headline. And I don't mean a title like Our Clients or Welcome, or, you know, you go to the website and it's just Welcome, you know. That doesn't really tell them anything and it doesn't draw them into the text. The headline on a piece of advertising copy or website copy, the purpose of that headline is to get people to actually read the copy on the page. And if you write the headline properly, I'm going to give you some tips about this. If you write the headline properly, they will tend to read what's on the page. And if you don't, they will not. They'll go to another page because it won't grab their interest. So sometimes with WordPress and other sites, you have an automatic thing. It sort of takes it from your navigation bar. So if you have clients on your navigation bar, it will show clients on your page. There are some ways to change that so that doesn't show and you just put a headline there instead, or actually program that into WordPress. But if you can't do that, just put a headline below clients or who we work with or whatever it is. So it's interesting. This came up. Someone asked a question in the forum yesterday, and I said, you should read this book called Tested Advertising Methods. I'm not saying you have to read this, but it has 4 pages, detailed, in-depth pages, just on how to write headlines. So it's a more complex thing than we think. John Caples was a marketing guy in the 1940s, and he sort of pioneered the scientific development of advertising and headlines through testing. So no internet back then, obviously, but they did a lot of newspaper advertising. So they do a thing called split testing, an A-B test. So on one ad, they'd have a certain headline, and another ad, they'd have another headline. And it just printed in such a way that 50%, you know, got one, 50% got the other. And then they had some kind of a code so they knew what people were responding to. He did a lot of direct response. So he discovered that way over thousands of tests, the kind of headlines that work and the headlines that don't. But here's the bad news. Sometimes they said we couldn't tell for sure until we actually tested it. Nevertheless, there are certain rules and principles that you can follow without testing that are more likely to get results. So the two main things that you want in a headline, actually there's three, is the target market, who your client is. Number two is some kind of benefit or some kind of an issue. We'll give you examples in a minute. And to say something that leads readers into the copy, that almost forces them to read the copy. So sometimes the target audience is assumed. They're on your site. They know you're a coach. You don't always have to say exactly who your audience is. That can be assumed. But there has to be some kind of benefit or advantage to them in the words, and it has to point toward the text. So there's a classic example. It's a famous example. It's one of the best headlines ever written on planet Earth. It ran in magazines and newspapers and periodicals for 40 years. It's just almost mind-boggling. These days, we change things every other day. You never see a commercial that these days. But back then, the days not of mass media, before, well, I think there was radio back then, but no television. So this was for a correspondence course in writing and English usage. And, you know, a lot of people that hadn't gotten a college education learned a lot from correspondence courses. It was big back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. It was huge. So this was a multi-million dollar enterprise. So here's the headline. Do you make these mistakes in English? That was the headline. Now, there was one word in that headline that made people read the copy. What do you think that word was?
I would guess that it was you, maybe.
No.
Or mistakes.
It was not you, and it was not mistakes.
See, this is my field. I should know this.
You know, this is a great lesson, because once you go through this, you never forget it, and it's so powerful. Okay, who else wants to get? We've got two of the words. Do you make these mistakes in English? That's 7. You got 5 left. Come on, guess. Let me go off mute.
The last two is in English.
Which?
In English.
English is in not English. English is not the okay. word. Good guess. What?
How about do?
Do. That is not one of the words. I like this because it's almost the last word. Yes, is the word that points you to the text.
These? Did you say these is one of the words?
These is the right answer. Why is it the right answer?
Because it's specific. These specific mistakes.
See, when you say these, you're pointing to something. Get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. See, if you take out the word these, you have, do you make mistakes in English? Now, that's just a question. It's with a yes or no answer. Do you make these mistakes in English? I have to read it in order to answer the question. Get it? So that's one of the words you can use. So that's a powerful word. Another way to point people toward the text is five ways you can increase your sales. So it's the number of ways. So I have to read to find out the ways to know how to do that. The other one was a question, but this was just a statement. So how-tos are very, very effective headlines. Five ways you can, seven ways you can. Here's another one is here's. Here's how you can increase your sales by X percent. Here's. Oh, where is it? Oh, I got to read it to find out what here's is. Here's this. Here's that. So tips is also good. So here are 10 tips. So that's here and tips are pointing to something they have to find out about. See, it can't be just a yes or no answer if you do a question in the headline. That just doesn't work. Now, there are a lot of, you know, a zillion other tips in this book. But generally, you want to get curious about what you're talking about. Let me tell you the most interesting headline I ever wrote. Let's see. How a writer who wouldn't network and wouldn't cold call got all the clients she needed with her Siberian Husky. How can you not read that after you have that headline? So I'm telling about a story that's very curious. It was a real story. This lady came to me and said, first, Robert, I want you to know, I don't want to do any kind of cold calling or direct outreach. I don't want to do networking. Anyway, she told me all the things that she didn't want to do. And I said, well, your other option is to do mailings. And she said, well, that's what I think I want to do. Because after all, I'm a writer. She was a writer, for a corporate writer, and her husband happened to be a designer. And then she came to me with the idea. She says, I have this dog, and his name is Mutombo, and he's a Siberian Husky. And I said, you know, most marketers would say, oh, no, that's not a good idea. I don't think so. I said, tell me about Mutombo. So she spent 10 minutes about telling me about this miracle dog, Mutombo, how smart he was, how great he was. She had this idea of doing mailings with pictures of Mutombo on them. So guess what? She did. And she got big corporate clients with those mailings because they were brilliantly written and brilliantly designed. She did those for 4 years in a row. Every month she sent them out to a list of corporate clients in San Francisco. So anyway, that's the story behind it. But that's, you know, I wrote an article about that, and that was the title for the article. It's hard not to read it. So the curiosity factor, if it's relevant to your business, is really good. So when you say how to, or this is how, or Leanne, I think you're very creative. Tell me some creative thing that you could tell about something you've done that would point to some copy that you've written. And it could be any page of your website.
Not sure if I understand what you're asking me.
I want you to write a headline for your website that's creative that way, that's maybe based on some kind of a story or example. You know, you can point to, for instance, client results. You know, like, here's how a client got more done in 3 weeks than she had in the previous 3 years. See, that could be a headline, something like that for you. You know what I'm saying? Because that's an interesting story. It's like, how did she do that? I've got to read about it. As opposed to client services or testimonials. So you could do case studies. An East case study could have an interesting headline. And almost always they don't. So even though we've gone through some of your site, you should look at the different pages and the headlines you have. So make one up, Leanne. You gotta exercise your brain for this to really, I'm going to have everybody do it, in fact. This is the headline exercise.
I mean, here's how the right brain thinker shifted to left brain.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. I'm not sure what the benefit for me is to go from left to right brain. You talk about that, but okay. I'm not going to wrestle to you to the ground to get the perfect one. Let's hear some others from other people. Let's see if we can all give a headline that's kind of interesting. It generates interest, points people to the copy. There's an implied or direct benefit there. Carol, everyone's waiting for someone else to go. Come on, Carol.
Okay. Well, I'm going to fall back on my last email I did with the woman who got more sleep. So I could say something like, find out how this mom increased her sleep, from 2 hours to 8 hours.
Yeah. So that's a big result, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had like a page on insomnia and sleep issues, that could be the headline, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So then you wordsmith it and fine tune it from there. You know, you start with the concept. So it might be, here's how a mother here's how a mother started to get 4 times as much sleep every night. I'm not sure which one is best, but you know, mine was really long, so it's probably not with the Siberian Husky, but it was a sort of fun, crazy headline. It doesn't have to be too long, but it has to get that curiosity and meet some kind of a need. So if people are not getting enough sleep, now, it might be not getting enough sleep. Here's how you can. It can be simple as that. You know, it doesn't have to be overly clever and sexy. Not getting enough sleep. Here's how you can. Mm-hmm. But sometimes actually having the result right in the headline can be more powerful. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody else. Sharon, want to give a shot?
I've got how a team leader stopped focusing on solving problems and finally managed to stop working weekends.
Yeah. So that's better than how this leader is working smarter, not harder. That's kind of, everyone's heard that before. You know, yeah. How a leader stops solving problems and now takes the weekends off. I mean, it's a story. See, people love stories. People love examples. People love how something can work better for them. That would definitely trigger my curiosity. Udo, how about you?
Here's how my customer turns its old website into a lead magnet.
Yes. How a customer turned his old website into a lead magnet. You might want to say something other than old. His ineffective website into a lead magnet. His crappy website. No. Anyway, ineffective website into a lead magnet. Okay. Now there's another thing here is, you know, you want to write a headline that's intriguing, that poses a benefit, points reader to the copy. On the other hand, you sort of are right on the border between truth and hype. And, you know, yeah, you know, Carol says, hey, absolutely, 2 hours sleep, that's what she got for a long time. And she just couldn't sleep. And, you know, in one or two sessions, she's now getting 8 hours sleep or whatever it is now. So, you know, that makes a huge difference. So in the body copy, you want to reflect exactly what you said in the headline. You can start right with a story or example. So many people have trouble sleeping at night. It's like an epidemic in America. People are so hooked to the internet and their iPads, and or they're anxious for various reasons, and sleep can have really detrimental effects, blah, blah, blah. So most people would write like that. You might want to start with this service, or start with a story and then talk about what you did. So say if this was a sleep-based program, I would start right with the story. So you'd say, what was her name? Carol?
Okay. So, well, I wouldn't use her name anyway. Well,
okay, I'll call her Janet.
Okay.
So Janet came to me distraught. For the past month, she'd hardly gotten any sleep. In fact, she said, Carol, I'm lucky if I get 2 hours a night with the baby, with this, with that, you know, various things. I just can't seem to shut my mind off at night, and it's really taking a toll on me. And you should actually find the actual words she said. You know, you might make a few minor changes, but what she actually said. And she looked tired. She looked exhausted. But I was so glad she came to me, because in that first session, I gave her a hypnotic sleep technique that the very next night had her sleep, blah, 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 or whatever it was, or two nights or two sessions. This is the power of learning how to use hypnosis on yourself. I mean, that alone would sell the program. Mm-hmm. Really powerful. Okay? Yeah, human interest as it relates to me is really powerful. Okay, how about you, Oliver?
Here's how a sales manager doubled his sales team's sales in just a few months.
Okay.
And I can support it.
Okay. Now the only thing is to make it a little more refined and a little sexier sounding.
Okay. Oh.
And that's just a matter of wordsmithing and reading it out loud and just, does that sort of, sometimes good headlines have almost a poetic feel to them, you know? They just sound so natural and normal, but they're really powerful. They're arresting. You know, if you've got a service, and most of you do, have a service that really changes the game for people. Oliver has a service like that. Leanne has a service for that in two areas, you know, training to be a coach or being coached. Her whole headline of, here's how I help my clients get 92% of their goals accomplished every single time, or something like that, is intriguing. Carol's, you know, we just talked about that. Nancy, what would a headline for you be that was intriguing and interesting? And you know, here's
the thing. Can you hear me? Because I'm having trouble with my technology right now.
Nancy,
you guys are all frozen. I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you now. You're just going back and forth a bit. I can hear you now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to, I'm going to log off in a minute and log back on.
Okay.
For me, probably something like, here's how we got people to talk about their intimate secrets in 2 hours. Something like that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might not even need here's how we got points to the story as well.
Yeah. Or how I got, maybe even.
Yeah. How I got perfect strangers to divulge their most intimate secrets in less than 2 hours.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's some headlines sort of have a sense of humor to that. That one does, in a way.
Yeah.
Divulge their secret. It's like, what is she talking about? Now, you know, if you look on the internet these days, you know, virtually every website out there, any, you know, institutional type website has links on the bottom with little pictures and a headline. Do you ever click on those? Yes? No? No one wants to admit?
I get a paper newspaper.
Bless you. Yeah, there's nothing to click on those things. But those, they have great headlines. And usually it can only be two lines, only so many characters, but they're brilliant headlines. They make you want to click. Learn about the feud between Brittany and blah, blah, blah. You know, half of the things about are about the Kardashians, God knows. And then they take you to a list of various things and et cetera. I won't get into it. And then they lead to more and more headlines. Look at those headlines. They're doing a good job because so many websites are financing themselves. Every click, they get paid a buck or something to do that because there's more ads on the page and somehow they make it all work out. Okay, who has not given me an example yet? Roberta. Your mic's off.
How being well rested will increase your income.
How being well rested will increase your income. Okay. The problem with that, it's almost like you solve the whole thing right in the headline. But it's not bad. It's not bad. So tell me, when you're working with a client, when you're, you know, you're getting people's attention, what's one of the main hooks that gets people interested in you? Because it's like we can say so many things about what we do, but we discover after writing this stuff and talking about it, oh, there's certain phrases that seem to really hook people better than others, or they're more interested in a certain area of your service, or it's that thing that convinced me kind of thing. We have to become aware of those. So what awareness do you have about that?
That's a good question. My mind isn't as, I don't feel too sharp at the moment about this. I don't know. I can't tell.
Well, you just got a client recently. What do you think the main reason he signed up for you is?
That's a good question. Because I understood his world. You know, he's started a nonprofit that he feels really passionate about, and I was able to speak his language.
Yeah. Okay. So there might be some kind of headline related to that for your services page, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because there's... it's not popping in my head immediately either, but
you know, the auto, you know, what I've been saying when I've been out there, I've been using that phrase, and I'm using it for that article I'm writing about. What is it? Like, are you doing what you love, but the money hasn't followed?
Yes.
That one I've been using in my 32nd when I'm out speaking and people laugh, you know, the room laughs. There's a lot of response to that because it plays on that book on a similar name.
So here's how a headline could work. Here's what to do if you're doing what you love, but the money isn't following.
Okay, good.
See how that points to the text?
Yes, right.
Just set it as a statement. It's sort of a yes or no question. But here's what to do if you are doing what you want, but the money isn't following. That would get readership.
Here's what to do if the
money isn't following.
Yeah, okay.
So you can think of this for your homepage. You can think it for your services page, but even for your contact us page.
So if my new article is on this topic, then this would be good copy to put on the homepage around downloading it, right? Unless I change the article topic, but
yeah, exactly.
So that would be the title of the section about.
Exactly. So we just take this for granted, and we have generic headlines. So I have a word for generic headlines. I don't know where I learned this, but here it is. It's called a sausage headline. So why do you think it's called a sausage headline? Because you could be selling anything, even sausage, based on that headline. So if you say, welcome to my website, we're the premier sausage manufacturer in upstate New York. I mean, it could be anything, even sausage. So you don't, so generic equals sausage, and you don't want that. So any page that could, for instance, contact us, sausage headline, absolutely. So instead, you could say, give us a call to explore how we could help you expand your business. Tell them what you're going to do in that call. Or please contact us to discover three things you could start doing next week to blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But say something. It doesn't always have to be ultra clever or sexy, but it should lead them to something. So, you know, about us, sausage headline. Learn about how we've helped thousands of people grow their business. That's definitely better. Almost anything is better than a sausage headline. And yet on the web, you will find mostly sausage headlines. Go to any website and that's what you'll find. And it's just not compelling. It's not drawing people in. Okay, so this is not a really big project, but look through your website, relook at your article, ask yourself, is this headline intriguing, interesting? Okay.
So, Robert, if we have a couple more.
Yeah.
Send them to you or toss them out now or?
Yeah, you can toss them out now. And if you want to send them to me, that's fine. You can mention them in the action support system. Here's a few headlines I came up with. That way others can see them as well.
Okay. Here's how to take care of yourself and be a great leader too.
Okay.
Give us a call to explore how you can get more of what you want and less of what you don't want.
Okay.
Here's how to be a great coach for your clients.
Yeah, that's a good one. Here's how to be a great coach for your clients. Okay, good. Remember, there's these things I keep saying, marketing is 100% communication and on the other side of that, what people are listening for is what's in it for me? What do I get? Is there an advantage here? Is there something useful for me here? And if the headlines don't point towards that, they don't read your copy. You know, we get so, we don't notice this. So, you know, I've pointed out a distinction to you. Now you're going to start seeing headlines and you're going to go, oh, that's a pretty good headline. And you're going to see some and you go, what the heck are they talking about? That's so boring. You know, you'll just start to see it all over the place where you simply couldn't even see it before. In other words, we don't notice what attracts and what interests us. We know we are attracted by things and we're interested by things, but we don't see the mechanism that's happening. So if you find yourself avidly reading something, what made you avidly read it? Go back and look at the headline. And it's always something that's intriguing, something that you want to know. You know, I read Politico, which is articles about what's happening in politics right now. And so it's always, you know, why Trump is being rejected by the GOP party. So why is he being rejected by the GOP party, other than he's a horse's ass and a few other things, right? So they have so many different variations on interesting stories. What happened backstage at the GOP debate? Everyone wants to know what happened backstage. Not everyone, but some people do. I read an interesting article today about how, did you know that, what's Hillary Clinton's daughter, Chelsea Clinton and Ivanka Trump are friends? Did you know that? So how the political campaign is straining the relationship between Ivanka and Chelsea. You know, they're good friends, and then now their parents are like mortal enemies. It's like very futile. It's crazy. But there's headlines that make you want to read that stuff. It just draws you right in. Once you get that, it's a really powerful tool. Okay, so that's it on that. Next time, we're going to start talking about marketing action planning. And marketing action planning is what to do to increase the chances of your plans being done. Now, some people understand this whole concept of marketing or planning. You know, Leanne is big on it. I know Roberta is big on it. So this is my system that I've created over a number of years with clients that we found to be really, really successful. And there's a few parts to it. The first part is saying, here's the purpose of this plan. And when I talk about plan, here's how I define it. I don't know if you read the article that I sent. I talked about this a bit in the article, and we'll get into more depth today. But a plan is a specific plan around a specific activity. So I'm talking about a speaking marketing plan or a networking marketing plan. Some people put all their plan and they mesh everything together, and it's like, well, there's too much stuff in there. It's about everything you would have to do. So on that article I sent you, I gave you 21 things that you could do from beginning to end to have a successful speaking engagement that will generate clients for you. Most people would come up with about 4 things. This is why most people don't launch campaigns to do speaking and get a ton of clients. That's one of the secrets that I learned to get a lot of clients, is develop these marketing action plans. Sometimes I call them little marketing machines. It's like a Rube Goldberg machine. This connects to this, connects to this, connects to this, and out the end pop clients. I do it with the mastery program. I do it with speaking for whatever I do. I've done it. I have email campaigns for certain things. And there's step by step. So the first is, you know, so let's just look at it. I'll show you the plan itself. Let me see. And I'm praying that we don't have a crash. Let me see. That's not it. This is it. Okay. So here's the first part. Can y'all see this okay, or should I make it bigger? We okay? Okay. So here's the first part. Marketing strategy employed. So this is a networking, speaking, publishing, whatever. So this is the plan I'll use. These are the services that are offered. This is what I'm marketing for. So I'm marketing to fill a program or whatever. Sometimes it's just general, but it's better if you're actually going for, you know, filling a program or getting certain kind of clients. Target market, who are your ideal clients for this service or program? So sometimes you might have a different service or different target market for a particular service. Most of this you've figured out before. You know who your basic target market is, but just reiterate it for this. Primary marketing objective, the one big result you want to produce. Okay, so what is the one big result? Why don't you take yourselves off mute? If there's no background noise, it'll probably be okay. What is the one big result that you want to produce from a marketing action plan? There's only two things. What do you think one of those two things are?
More clients.
Be more specific.
Okay. Five new clients.
Five new clients. Or 10 new clients.
Five new clients in 60 days.
Exactly. Now you've really got an objective. And nobody wants to do this. We just want to sort of, oh, well, I'll get up. You know, sometimes the objective is I just want to get myself out there. That is not an objective for a plan. What if the Army did that? Let's launch the platoon out into the plains. What do we just want to get out there amongst the enemy. No, you want to capture territory. That's what it's about, period. So it's either the number of clients or the number of dollars or both. I want to generate $10,000 from this campaign, $5,000, whatever it is. Get five clients, each worth $1,000 for 6 months. So this is what makes it a game, is having that goal. Now, you know, the goal may change. You might have a go-to absolute goal. You might have a have-to goal. It's like, I'd love to get 20 in my program, right, Carol? But if I get 10, I'll be satisfied. But I'm not sure I want to run it if I get 5. So, but I'm really going for 20. I'm doing whatever I can to get 20. Okay, the next one is additional outcomes. Now, additional outcomes are the other results that you'll get as a result of doing the plan. But they often build long-term benefits for you. So, for instance, as a speaking plan, let's say I want to get 5 new clients at $500 a month. Okay, that's my goal. What are the additional results that I could get out of doing that speaking plan?
You could have people sign up for your monthly service.
My monthly e-zine?
No, you know, the online.
Yeah, I could have also some people sign up for that. Okay, what else?
Get new speaking engagements, new good speaking engagements.
Yes, speaking engagements lead to speaking engagements. The thing is by when you put that down as a goal, then you start to think of the things you need to do. So maybe you have an evaluation sheet, and one of the pieces in the evaluation sheet says, do you know another place or organization that might appreciate this talk? Please leave your name and email if you do. So now that's a piece of your plan that accomplished one of your additional outcomes in a simple way. It's not just intending. It's like, here's what I want. What would I have to do with this within this plan to accomplish it? So what's another thing you could get out of speaking?
Contacts.
Just
contacts, so people to sign up for your online magazines, newsletters.
Okay. Yeah, so just get people on my easing list, for sure. That's one of my main purposes. It's not my ultimate purpose, because if that was my ultimate purpose, I'd just have a huge list and no clients. You know what I'm saying? Yes, so yeah. A lot of people say, well, I got hundreds of names. I say, well, what did you do with them? What do you mean? They're in my database. Well, you want to turn them into clients? Well, I hope they call me someday. Whoops, we got a flawed plan here. because this plan is to get five or whatever clients, but it's a good sub thing that you want to get. What's another thing that you can get from doing speaking?
You sell other products.
You could sell products in the back of the room. Yeah, I've done that some. I remember once I made, I don't know, $750,000. I really haven't done a lot of that recently. And they bought a whole bunch of my manuals in the back of the room. Mm-hmm. That was great. And I think it's easy to get lost in those sub things. They're important, but ultimately you want to identify people in that group that you could turn into clients. Okay, another one, I'll just give it to you, is just build your overall credibility and positive word of mouth. Doing speaking is so much more powerful than just doing a lot of networking, as powerful as networking can be sometimes, because you are the one in front of the room. You're not one of the people in the crowd. You are the one that's the expert. Your name really spreads. One of the ways I got well-known in the Bay Area is by doing a lot of talks. Now I'm known by a lot of people in a different way through my e-zine, but I was really well known in the Bay Area because I gave talks all the time. Okay, so get the idea? So when you're writing a marketing action plan, you want to really think, not just as a tossed off thought, but what other things could I get from this? Some you don't even know how to do yet. Well, you can still set the goal and figure out how to do. Okay, next piece is what marketing materials are needed for this particular marketing action plan? What marketing materials will you need for this plan, including online, print, audio, and video? Mostly it's print and online. Some people will offer an audio thing or a video, whatever. So you'll need some materials. So what materials might you need for a talk?
Handouts. Maybe PowerPoint. Sometimes they're insistent on it.
Yeah, absolutely. PowerPoints.
You want a business card or some kind of something to hand out if in that sense?
Yeah.
So people can contact you.
What's the other big thing that you want to have available to people?
Your article.
So I've given away, I don't know, hundreds, perhaps thousands of articles from giving talks. Now, I don't copy up a million articles. I think I used to do that years and years and years ago. I simply say, give me your business card, and then I'll send you a copy as a PDF. But that's the way you get people into your opt-in list. So having a good article that you feel is good, and it's a good start for the next step after the talk.
Robert, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When you take their card to send them your book or, you know, your printout, do you automatically put them on your email list even though they've just asked for the handout?
I usually tell them that they'll also be added to the list, but they can remove themselves at any time.
You tell them that when you're in the talk and you're collecting cards. Okay.
That's usually how I do it.
Thank you.
Sometimes I have gotten the cards, sent them the link and say, if you would like to get ongoing material from me and another thing, blah, 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 go here and opt in themselves. Okay. There's some issues about you. You know, if you go to a talk and there's 250 people and you start to add them.
That's a lot of work.
After 10 things, it won't let you put in anymore with some systems because mm-hmm. looks like you're spamming them. So some of that's a little tricky.
Yeah, okay.
So used to, I'd just go in and I'd sit down after the talk when I got home and I'd put them all in, but now it's more sensitive. Okay, so let me see. One other thing you forgot is promotion for the talk. See, if you give, most talks you give to an organization, they want a quote speaker's kit. A speaker's kit is a write-up of what the talk is. Not five write-ups, one write-up. Not five titles, one title and one write-up. Sell one talk at a time. You might have a second sheet with other possible titles, but you're selling one talk. Makes it a lot easier. See, if you have you're completely open. Well, what would you like me to speak on? Then you have to develop a talk for every single talk you give. That's really not sustainable. I've given the same talk over and over and over again with variations for years. Okay, so it makes it a hell of a lot easier for me. Okay, so you got a lot of pieces. Then resources, what time, money, people are required for success for this. So, you know, the good thing about so many of these plans is they don't take a lot of money. It's going to take mostly time, not a lot of money. You know, one of my clients spends a lot on gas driving to all these talks he gives all over New York State. You might need a graphic designer to put together your materials if you don't feel confident with that. That's one investment that might happen, but not a lot. And then calls to action. What primary actions will you ask your prospects to take throughout the process? So the first action is, you know, will you hire me as a speaker? Will you book me as a speaker? And then, you know, things like that. And then at the end, you have an ask for business cards and an ask for if you're interested in knowing more, et cetera, et cetera. So it's useful to know, because if you don't ask, things won't happen. So I've refined this to a science. When I give a talk, I get cards. 80% of people give me cards because I asked the right thing. I won't get into all of that right now, but because we're talking not about speaking so much as developing a plan, okay? So that's how you, that's your basic thing. And now you put, now the second part of it is you create your chronological to-do list. And we have a page with four columns. So the first is the date, which you put in later. But you look, well, what's the order? So you start with action steps, and you go all the way down with action steps. So be clear about the service. Come up with an idea for the article or report. Develop materials to send to the meeting planner. Develop a talk appropriate to your audience. Prepare to contact organizations and planners. Start contacting organizations and booking talks. And then I have goals here, contact 16 organizations, book 25% at the end of the talk, an offer, blah, 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 all of these kind of things. So I'm really sort of going for specific results here, things, actual benchmarks I want to reach.
It's 2 okay. o'clock.
Someone has a timer on their computer. That's you, Carol, right?
That's me, yes. I'm the timekeeper. That's helpful, right?
Good. You know, we're right on time with this class.
That's today. Right.
Robert, can you remind us where this is?
It is nowhere. I'm going to put it up on the site today. It's actually everywhere and nowhere, but you don't have a link to it. So I'll put it up and I'll send it to you directly, et cetera.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Okay. So just be clear about this. So there's action steps and also communication. Or you could, you know, use this. Materials. So your action step sometimes include materials and sometimes it doesn't. So be clear about the service. So I have to make sure my website is up to date with my HEOB page. And I have to actually write the article and create the speaker's kit and write the talk and handouts. But when starting to contact people, well, I've got the phone script. But now I don't have to have a piece because I already have it, contact 16 organizations, et cetera. So it's useful to divide these into two pieces. It really is, because here's the step, but here's the actual materials that go along with that step. Is that clear to everybody?
Okay. Yes.
And the third thing is something no one has ever used in the history of mankind. Well, I don't know about that, but it really can help. So here's what I've noticed. Any single one of these activities can trigger resistance. I've noticed that anything in marketing can trigger resistance, literally anything. Like, you wouldn't think picking up the phone would trigger any resistance. What's so hard about picking up the phone? It's the number one resistance of people marketing the services, picking up the phone to call. Nothing harder than that for most people. So we have mindsets about these various things. So here's potential mindsets for each of those. Now, what I'm asking you to do when you write this is write down the hindering mindsets, not the positive mindsets you need. A lot of people do that. That doesn't help you. Doesn't help you one tiny bit. Because if you have a positive mindset, fine. If you don't have a negative mindset, you're okay. Just do it. But notice if you have a negative mindset. So my negative mindsets, I might think, oh, it has to be perfect. Who's had that mindset in developing the materials? Please put up your hand. And if you don't put up your hand, you're probably lying. Okay, so come up with an idea. I don't know what to say or write about. Yes?
Yeah.
There's too much to do. I've heard all of these from everybody so far. Or things like this. I hate PowerPoint. Or I help fill in the appropriate technology. So it's useful to know these things because, you know, I'm working with somebody. And okay, that got done. And it's like, well, where's your slides? This is not hard. You just need one slide for a major point. Oh, I hate PowerPoint, and that can kill you. They require PowerPoint, and then you end up doing your PowerPoint slides the day before. They're crappy, and you wonder why your presentation didn't go well. So any negative thing about any aspect of this can decrease the effectiveness of your marketing action plan. So there's more. Prepare to contact organizations. This sounds too manipulative. Just calling people and asking them to do something, how could I do that? Start contacting. They might reject me. Contact 16 organizations. It's hard to reach that many people. Are you kidding? Book 25%. Nobody will follow up, or I won't be able to follow up. At the end of the talk, make an offer. I don't want to be pushy.
Sorry, do you need this one?
And then make follow-up calls. Maybe they aren't really interested. Do you get the idea? Does this sound like your mind at all?
Mm-hmm.
Not good at selling. They'll never pay that.
I can do all of those.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. All of them. You know, most of us have louder minds than we give ourselves credit for. See, if you had none of these beliefs, we're going to do our talk on working with beliefs next time. But just acknowledging them goes a long way to diminishing them. See, if we don't acknowledge these, if we don't see them, and just are in avoidance, in denial, or justifying, then that belief is acting on us and is controlling us like a puppet on a string. So every time we say it has to be perfect, the belief is in control. We're not in control. Every time we say, I don't know what to say, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and that belief is in control instead of your creative mind that could come up with something pretty damn easily. There's too much to do. You know, everybody's overwhelmed. So this whole thing about mindset is going to start to become a bigger part of the whole course. Because if I could magically disappear your avoidance mindsets, your fearful mindsets, your doubtful mindsets, I could just give you a book and say, just do what's in the book. I'll give you a few tips and you just do it. That article, Sharon, would be written in an afternoon, not in 2 weeks. Because there are thoughts that are stopping us. So let's have a little conversation about this whole thing. Then the last thing is you put dates in this. And here's the good thing about this. When you have a plan like this, I've got a date, I know what to do, I know the materials, and I've become aware of my mindset and later on learned some techniques and strategies to reduce the loudness of this mindset, then I don't have to think about the whole damn plan. I just have to work on one step at a time. So I'm working on a marketing action plan right now to remarket the More Clients Club. It means creating a new article. It's rewriting the sales page. It's making a different offer. It's changing some things in the club. And that's just in a marketing action plan. And you bet I have mindsets for every single one of those that I have to work on. It's like, well, I've already written 20 sales letters. How is this going to be different? Well, I hired my friend David Garfinkel, who is a top copywriter that's been helping me with it, et cetera, et cetera. Now I find a way. It's a pretty simple plan, but it's difficult in a lot of ways. Okay, so I do these. Now, for some plans that are pretty simple that I've done many times, it's just I can do these things in my sleep and there's no resistance. But until you're that place, create marketing action plans. Now, I don't want you to create dozens of these. Pick something and create one. Now, you can, if you want to, go back. Those of you who are working on a website, you can put your website into a marketing action plan. And it can be basically page one, page two, page three, do this, do that, same thing. Or if you want to do speaking, or you want to do networking, or you want to do direct outreach, or you want to do more online stuff, whatever. Pick a plan. Pick something pretty simple. So are you pacing around, Leanne, because this is stirring up a lot of thoughts or because your back is hurting?
Neither, because I'm a kinesthetic and I had another 2-hour meeting before this and I'm awfully tired of sitting.
Okay, I can relate. Just checking. Okay. So Roberta's there. She's nodding her head. She's smiling. Okay. So what would you do a plan for you? Do you see the immediate application for you?
Yes, I think what first comes to mind is getting the website completed. Okay. I've got 2 pages almost done. That comes to mind, but there's other things. Let's see. I would say the website's probably the most important one.
Okay. Well, we also want you to work on proactive things, the things that will get you out there. You know, see, I started out without much of an action plan, just get out and connect with people, talk to people, see who they know, et cetera. That wasn't much of a plan, but I didn't want to give you a whole big plan to begin with. I just wanted you to sort of get your feet wet and talk to some people, et cetera. But then you created a pretty good plan, similar to this in many ways, for you going and doing the conference. We went over that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to go to the conference.
Well, you know, I could do one of these for that one-day conference I have a booth at in a couple weeks.
Perfect. That's it.
I should do one for
you. We've gone over some of those things, but now
you can take a big step. Yeah, that's good.
Exactly.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Whoops, we got someone on this call who shouldn't be on this call. Who's this person on the call? I'm seeing somebody here. Oh, no. Is that Nancy with your dog? I didn't recognize you with your dog there. That's pretty funny. You had a different background. And I can't hear you either, so I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I'm doing conference calls and another person that's going to be in a call a couple hours later comes on the call. And sort of like, that happened.
Sorry about that. She was driving me crazy and this was the internet problem. So we're all good now. She's quiet. Fine.
So since we can hear you right now, what marketing action plan could you do?
Well, that's what I was just thinking about. My first thought was an action plan for my action plan.
I got to organize my organizing before I can organize, right?
But seriously, like, I think, you know, I've got a contact list on Constant Contact, and if I had it kind of organized, I would have these lists of who are previous clients, who are prospects, who have I not met yet. And it's a big enough list that might just take me an hour or two to go through it.
So you should create a marketing action plan on reaching out to all these people.
Yes.
One of the steps is organizing my list.
Yes.
The other step is, you know, making sure my script is right. I mean, that's not the hardest plan. It's not a lot of steps.
Right.
But then you start to think, you know, you put some time into answering all these questions and you get, okay, well, the main thing, what do I really want to get at it? Oh, I see. I've been focused as just reaching people as the objective. Why don't I up that objective?
Yeah.
So, you know, out of this whole thing, I want to get two or three new clients in the next few months. And then the interim goal is I want to get X number of meetings with people and other things. What are the other long-term things that this could give you? Because more contact, more meetings means they're thinking of you more often, and then you get more word of mouth and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So when you start to get into this, you see that it's like having, you start to have control of the bells and levers of marketing. It's not just randomness.
Yeah.
This randomness is just doing a bunch of stuff and hope something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I was just directing you, write this article, write the web page, start to do contact, just to get you doing some things. But now it's time to get into planning for bigger things.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're about to wrap up. We have just a couple more minutes. Any other questions about this before we wrap up? And then I'll email a link to this to you right away, and I'll also put it on the website. Good. Any other questions? No?
I don't think so.
Okay. You got it. So nod your head if you have an idea. I'm looking at one person at a time. You know, do you have a plan, an idea of what plan you'd create? Don't have to tell me. Just say, yes, I have a plan. You know?
Ah, sorry, didn't hit. I'm not sure about the plan yet. Something we talked about last Tuesday is reducing the sales letter in the first place, and maybe this is something for an action plan. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sharon?
Yep.
Not sure whether I should. I'm looking at putting together a demo, so I think that's what I would do. But I'm also wanting to get some of this other stuff finished.
Yeah. Yeah. Get your article finished, get feedback on the article. You know, I don't know if you stalled on the article or you just haven't sent me stuff for the first.
I did send you stuff.
You sent me more?
I think so. I've sent you two.
I will look because I don't remember getting it.
Okay.
Just me. I've got to take a note of that. So I'll look. If I didn't have it, I'll let you know. Something you'll okay. get through sometimes. Carol, do you know what your plan is going to be? I mean, you're currently working on your whole plan to fill your course, so you're sort of mid-course with that, so you might just want to continue to focus on that.
Oh, absolutely. This will help, I guess, even more organize what I already started.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's an easy choice to focus on that, because I really do want to fill the class.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, Sarah Taylor?
I'm good. I want to do mine on speaking engagements because I've got a big speaking engagement coming up. So.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, you know, when people do plans like this, they don't just get one speaking engagement, they get lots of them. It can transform your business if you get a lot of good speaking engagements. Okay, Roberta, what's yours going to be? I think you told us.
Yeah, mine's going to be for that conference I'm doing in a couple weeks.
Okay, great. And Oliver?
I'm going to do it on getting a specific number of conversations with real prospects.
Okay. But set a number for the number of new clients you'd get over a long period as well. We talked about that already. Your goal is to get 12 new clients this year.
By the end of the year, yeah.
Yeah, that may
and hopefully at least one by the end of the month, which is pushing it, but who knows?
Okay, good. So write it all out, think it through. And
okay.
And Leanne, yours? I'm not hearing you, Leanne. I don't know why. You're muted.
Sorry. A speaking one and also one for direct calls.
Okay. And I think it'd be useful if you did a plan for your website too.
I gotta prioritize what's most important.
Yes. Yeah. I understand. I'm the kind of guy that wants to do everything tomorrow, so you know I can relate to it. Okay, so that's it. I'll send it to you right away. Have fun with it, and we'll see y'all in 2 weeks, and some of you pretty soon. Okay, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.